Our scripture lesson this morning is from Luke, the fifth chapter. No, I am not David Burkett. David showed up at chapel this morning and said, oops. So I get to read. I did go to seminary to learn two things: how to read the Bible and how to pray. Right? So here's the scripture reading. Luke chapter 5, beginning in the first verse, says, "One day Jesus was standing beside Lake Gennesaret when the crowd pressed in around him to hear God's word. Jesus saw two boats sitting by the lake. The fishermen had gone ashore and were washing their nets. Jesus boarded one of the boats, the one that belonged to Simon, and then asked him to row out a little distance from the shore. Jesus sat down and taught the crowds from the boat. When he had finished speaking to the crowds, he said to Simon, 'Row out farther into the deep water and drop your nets for a catch.' Simon replied, 'Master, we've worked hard all night and caught nothing, but because you say so, I'll drop the nets.' So they dropped the nets, and their catch was so large that their nets were splitting. They signaled for their partners in the other boat to come and help them. They filled both boats so full that they were about to sink. When Simon Peter saw the catch, he fell at Jesus' knees and said, 'Leave me, Lord, for I am a sinner.' Peter and those with him were overcome with amazement because of the number of fish they caught. James and John, Zebedee's sons, were Simon's partners, and they were amazed too. Jesus said to Simon, 'Don't be afraid. From now on you will be fishing for people.' As soon as they brought the boats to the shore, they left everything and followed Jesus." The word of God for the people of God. As I mentioned early at the beginning of the service today, we're starting a new series, and it's titled A Cracked Foundation. Now, if you remember reading in the Gospels, you know that Jesus has a lot of different conversations with various people in the Gospels. One of them is, of course, Simon Peter. And in particular, there's a conversation that he and Peter has about Peter's existing life and what's going to happen through him as God envisions and as Jesus proclaims. They find themselves in this conversation where Jesus asks Peter a question. He says, "Who do the people say that I am?" And Peter answers, "Well, they've been gossiping about you a little bit. They think you might be John the Baptist brought back to life, or you might be a reincarnation of Elijah or Jeremiah, or maybe one of the other prophets." Jesus looks at Peter and says, "Well, who do you say that I am?" And Peter says, "You are the Christ, the Son of the living God." And Jesus tells Peter, "You know what? You have not discovered this on your own. Rather, it is God who has revealed this to you, Peter. And because of that, you are going to be the rock, the cornerstone, the foundation upon which the church will be built." Now, for those of you who've read the Gospels a little bit further, you might also be a little more familiar with Peter as a person, right? You know, for Jesus to proclaim this about Peter might be curious to some of us. We know that Peter is a man of faith. He does go and follow Jesus. He is a disciple. He becomes one of the apostles. But we also know that Peter is flawed. He's ill-tempered, impetuous. He's a cracked human being. He's got his flaws. Which means, if you think about it, the cornerstone of the church was a flawed cornerstone. We have a cracked foundation, right? The trustees don't want me to say that too loudly because they'll start investigating a cracked foundation. But we have a cracked foundation as a church, metaphorically, spiritually, if you want to put it that way. So we're going to spend the next few weeks together looking at this series. Hopefully this series will empower us, especially those of us who think we are too flawed, too broken to be used for God's purposes in this life and in this world. For all of us to understand and live in the reality that God can use every single one of us, you and me, in spite of our cracks, our flaws. So let's begin with Jesus' invitation to Peter. Come, follow me and I will make you a fisher of people. Jesus saw something in Peter and invited him to become a follower, a partner, a friend, a disciple. In my life, I've been fortunate. I've had people who have recognized things in me that I did not see in myself. And they've lifted these things up for me. They've mentioned them to me. Let me give you a couple of examples. Early in my high school years, my youth director kept putting me in positions of leadership within our youth group, even though I just wanted to be part of the crowd, recede into it, and kind of be a wallflower. Can you imagine that? Jim is a wallflower? You guys paying attention over here? Okay. You know, it's kind of hard to believe, but I did. I wanted to be. When I went to basic training in the Air Force, I was one of 54 men that entered basic training on that day, and the drill instructor decided to make me the dorm chief, which meant that I was the leader for all 54 of us in our flight. I really wanted to be a wallflower in basic training. I didn't want to stick out at all for the drill instructor, but here I am. I got promoted a little bit as a leader. Happened through most of my military career, my professional career, sometimes finding myself thrust into these positions that I really didn't want to be, but someone saw something in me that I didn't see in myself. One of my former bosses one time told me that I was the team's E.F. Hutton. Now, there is a certain group of us that know exactly what I'm talking about. Others of you have no idea because that commercial went off TV a long time ago, right? But when E.F. Hutton speaks, people listen, right? He told me that I was the team's E.F. Hutton, which I didn't see at all. I didn't think anybody ever paid attention to anything I said. And now that I'm a preacher, I'm wondering, where that skill went, right? But each time this has happened to me, I've been stunned. Maybe even perplexed in some ways because someone saw something in me that I really didn't see at that time in my life, right? I wasn't quite able to envision for myself. Now, I'm wondering if any of you have ever had that kind of experience in your own life as well. Have you had someone who's noticed something in you that you didn't recognize in yourself and they said something to you and it literally kind of shocked you. You were a little flabbergasted that somebody noticed that in you. It might have disturbed your reality a little bit. It might have even caused your jaw to drop to the ground because it was something you had no idea about. Ever had that kind of experience? I think about my call to ministry. You know, as I've told you many times, I felt called to ministry as a young person in my youth age, but kind of took a circuitous route about this. I went into the military after high school and spent 10 years in the business world after 10 years in the military. So I really thought that God was kind of done pursuing me and that ministry was never going to be one of those options. I just needed to keep on the track that I was on. But back in the summer of 1998, Margaret and I, we were attending Aldersgate United Methodist Church out in Lee Summit. And that week, we had a revival at our church. A guy by the name of Wes Putnam came in from out of town. He was a Texas preacher, came in town, and he led us through that revival that week. And on Thursday evening, we were standing out in the foyer. Margaret and Mark Turnbow, our pastor, and I were standing in the foyer, and Mark looks at me and says, "Jim, when are you going to finally give in to God and go into ministry?" To which Margaret says, "Yeah, honey, when?" Now, in that moment, I was unprepared to respond. I was not expecting that to be lifted up or mentioned. It rocked my world, and yes, my jaw hit the ground in that moment, right? It was affirming, yes, totally unexpected, disturbed my routine, my world, what I thought I was going to be doing and should be doing because I thought God was done pursuing me. Dear friend, I don't believe this is isolated to just me. It's not some personal mystical experience that only I've had. Because I believe that God sees in every single one of us the possibilities. Sometimes it just takes someone else lifting it up and mentioning it. Something that you may not see in yourself that God knows you have the ability to do and can do for God's kingdom purposes. I believe that the fruits of the Spirit are plenteous among us as a community of faith. They reside here. They are meaningful in their measure for every single one of us and need sometimes to just simply be lifted up and lived out. Some of you have the gift of wisdom. You are clear. You give sage insight in ways that others of us, we only see circumstances dimly. But you have the wisdom to see clearly. Others of you have the gift of knowledge, the ability to teach about the truth of God that's revealed in scriptures and through our traditions. Others of you, you have the gift of faith. In a world of doubt and skepticism, what more is needed than the gift of faith? People who can see where God is working, where others of us can't see anything about what God is doing. Some of you have the gift of healing, or what we might call the gift of mercy. You can bring comfort to the broken of body, mind, and spirit. While others of you have the gifts of miracles, you can get done for God's kingdom what no other person seems to be able to do. You can tackle those things and bring it to fruition. Some of you have the gift of prophecy. God speaks into your intuition. You listen. You can share a vision that few of us can ever see. Others of you can discern because God has given you that gift. To see into circumstances and situations and lead down the right path. While some of you are great at hospitality, you can make anyone feel right at home, welcomed, and loved. The question is, do we know we have these gifts? Has someone seen them in you? Something that you're not quite able to recognize in yourself? Have you been listening? And are you responding when God speaks through them to you? Or is the noise in your life so loud that you can't hear the voice of God? I can only imagine how tired Peter and the fishermen must have been after all night of fishing and now washing their nets. It was just an ordinary routine day for Peter and his comrades. It was like any other. They had loaded their boats. They had pushed off from the shore. They had rowed out to the area that was their fishing grounds. They had fished overnight, caught nothing. And when they caught nothing, they came back to the shore. They washed their nets and they prepared them for the next day of fishing. It was their routine. That is what they did day in and day out. But then Jesus comes and disrupts everything. Coming to their city, preaching, a small crowd has gathered around Jesus. It's to the point that they're pressing in on him, and Jesus wants a little distance and space, and so he sees a couple of boats, and he just walks over and hops into one of them, right? Can you imagine a strange man coming up to your boat and just hopping in your boat? Didn't even ask Peter, "Can I get in your boat, Peter? Peter, would you be kind enough to take me for a ride?" No, he says to Peter, "Row out a little distance and park for a moment." And Peter does. He gets in the boat with Jesus. He rows him out a little bit. Jesus sits down and he teaches a little while longer. And at the end of the time of his teaching, he says to Peter, "Now I want you to row out to the deep, to the fishing grounds, and I want you to let down your nets." Now, I missed something in the gospel. Where does it say that Peter put his nets back in the boat? I want to know. Anybody got an answer for that? Think about that for a moment, though, right? Somewhere along the lines of Peter washing the nets and Jesus getting in his boat, Peter also put his nets back in the boat as well and took them with him. Even though it was the wrong time of the day to fish, they went out anyway. He responded to Jesus' command and he let down his nets. And he caught so many fish that it overflowed. They tried to bring him into the boat, filled the boat, had to call his business partners to come out and help him out. They came out, put more fish in their boats. Both of the boats started to sink. And when they got to that point, Peter says, "Jesus, leave me. I am a sinner. I'm unworthy of this." Jesus says, "Oh, Peter, you're going to go back to the shore with me. And when you go back to the shore, you're going to follow me because you're going to fish for people now." And he does. All these things Peter does. Why? Because Jesus saw something in Peter that Peter did not see in himself at this point in his life. Jesus saw a faith that would be willing to do what God invited him to do, even to become the cornerstone of the church. what fascinates me about this story is this. In our understanding of Jesus, our interpretation of Jesus, we see Jesus as one who knows all things about all people, right? And so Jesus knows in this moment what kind of person he is inviting to come and follow him. He knows Peter's good points, but he also knows Peter's cracks and flaws. And yet he invites him anyway to come and follow him. He tells him, "You're going to be the cornerstone of the church." I wonder why Jesus would say that to Peter. And maybe it's just simply this. Maybe what we need to realize is the success and the failure of the church has never been completely reliant upon us flawed human beings. It is wholly dependent upon the Holy Spirit of God working in us, using what we may not see in ourselves at this moment. Because God sees something in every single one of us that we may not even see in ourselves. God sees how every single one of us can contribute to the coming kingdom of God, the work of God that is present before us now. The question is, are we at a place where we can listen to God's call? Are we okay with God disturbing our routine? I think many of you have been paying attention enough to be aware of what's going on in Houston and the coastal area. You know about the devastation of Hurricane Harvey. One of my seminary classmates serves in the Houston area. He's at First United Methodist in Houston. He's actually at the church that's not too far from where Joel Osteen's church is. But he recently wrote some words on Facebook. And this was kind of his realization about the hurricane and what he was experiencing. He said, 5 Harvey things that I didn't expect. He said, 1 was the shame. He happens to live in a suburb of Houston that wasn't affected by the hurricane and the rising waters. All of his possessions, for the most part, survived. His family is in good shape and intact, and so are all of his neighbors. But he said, you watch the news of all of the friends that come to his church and all the things that they have lost and the communications that are going on, and he said, it makes you feel a little ashamed that you survived. He said the other thing that he noticed is that he was powerless through this whole situation, through this whole thing. We all know you can't stop Mother Nature. You are powerless when it comes to the weather. And when you watch people lose everything to a natural disaster, you feel powerless. He also noted that pre-existing conditions just don't miraculously go away with a hurricane, right? Nothing ever happens in a vacuum. People who had problems before Harvey have those same problems after Harvey. It's just exacerbated by the fact they've lost everything in a hurricane as well. But in this moment, he also saw ordinary heroes, countless stories of people who would risk their own lives to go help their fellow humans, which causes you to think about your perspective on things. Because one of the things that he noted is all the things that have a tendency to divide us as humans, they don't matter in the midst of this kind of devastation. He finished with these words. He said, I confess, Harvey has broken me. I'm not the same person I was a few days ago, and maybe that's not such a bad thing. For my friend, my colleague, Harvey revealed something about himself and his worldview that he hadn't seen before, hadn't experienced before, and it changed him. I believe God desires to disrupt our lives because God sees something in us that at this moment we might not see in ourselves. I hope it's not through a hurricane, as if a hurricane would ever come to Missouri. Are you guys paying attention out there at all? All right. I hope it's not through a hurricane. But the difference is I don't think God wants to devastate our lives. No, God wants to hold out an invitation that might disrupt our routine and our lives. An invitation to come and follow the way, the truth, and the life that has been shown to us in Jesus. And as cracked as our life may be, as many warts as we may have, to know that God knows that we can still make a difference. And God wants us to see that we can make a difference in the world. If only we would let God mess around in our lives a little bit. So here's what I hope that you remember from today. A couple of things that you can talk about with your family and your friends. Just kind of ruminate on yourself. These are our conversation points. But to be reminded that sometimes we are shocked when someone sees something in us that we don't see in ourselves. That can be enlightening for us. Jesus saw Peter, a man with many cracks and flaws, but he also saw a man of faith. And so Jesus invites Peter to be a disciple that would become the cornerstone of the church. And many of us, we may not see it in ourselves, but God sees the ways in which we can be used to continue the work of building God's kingdom, of building God's church. If only we would let God disturb our lives and our souls for that purpose. So here's your invitation for today. Now during communion, whenever we have communion, we always open the prayer rails. We invite people to pause and to take a moment to pray after receiving the elements. But I want to invite you to intentionally pause today and listen. To listen for the voice of God who might be disturbing your soul today. To listen to the ways in which God might be inviting you to go further on the disciples' journey. But not just to listen, to also respond. If it's faith development that God is stirring within you, then look at the ways in which you can join one of our classes or maybe help us form a new group so that you can be a part of that. If it's mission work, look at the ways in which you can volunteer through St. John's to make a difference in our local community and the world beyond. If it's about serving in hospitality or helping ministries, we've got room for you to be able to do that as well. There are ample ways in which the spiritual gifts can be lived out in this community if you'll simply take a moment to let God disturb you, if you'll simply take a moment to listen to His invitation today.